Isaiah chapter 53, page 597 in your pew Bible. We're going to read God's Word together so that all those people watching on Facebook Live can hear us reading, just in case they're scrambling looking for their Bibles right now. Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 1. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. Thank you so much. You can be seated. You know, sometimes my enthusiasm about seeing someone can get me into embarrassing situations. A few months ago, on a Saturday morning, Sherry and I were eating breakfast at a restaurant, and we were in the back room, and the tables were lined up on both sides of the wall with just a real narrow passageway, probably not as wide as the aisles going down our church. And I looked up and I saw Charlie walking toward me. And I said out loud, jokingly, "Hey, you can't take up the whole aisle while you walk." Well, then Charlie lifted up his head, and it wasn't Charlie. It was a case of mistaken identity. And of course, because I have such a soft voice, everyone in that whole section is looking, thinking, we're getting ready to have a fight right here in the aisle. And so I apologized. He didn't say anything as he walked by staring at me. But the air in that section was very tense for a while, particularly at our table, as someone was staring at me. You know, the prophet Isaiah lived approximately 700 years before Jesus was born. So as we read Isaiah 53, he is not standing at the foot of the cross. He is not a contemporary of Jesus. He is looking down the prophetic road some 700 years, and he's seeing the Son of God. He's seeing the Messiah. But he's not seeing him the way the Jews wanted to see him. He's not seeing him as the mighty warrior. He's not seeing him as the deliverer. He's not seeing him as the one who has come to take vengeance on the Romans for the cruelty that the Jews are having to endure. Instead, he's seeing him as this burden bearer, this servant, this man who is condemned to die. And Isaiah, in looking at him and in describing how he looks, describes to us what Isaiah is seeing as mistaken identity. He sees, first of all, that this burden bearer is not carrying his own burden. He's not carrying his own sins. He's not carrying his own guilt, his own sorrow, his own pain, his own shame, his own condemnation. He sees him as carrying that for someone else. In fact, he sees him as carrying that for you and for me. Last week, we focused on the resurrection, the empty tomb. But now, today, we look at the crucifixion, as Isaiah is seeing it. And the first thing Isaiah says is that Jesus took our pain. And I find it interesting that in verse 4, Isaiah does not begin by saying he took our sin. He goes into that later in this chapter. But he begins by saying he took our pain, our infirmities. The text said that he has borne, B-O-R-N-E, borne our infirmities. And that is a Hebrew word, and it simply means to lift up and to carry away a heavy load, to pick up a heavy burden and carry it. You know, it is that when you're picking up that box, that, and you're reminding yourself as you're going down to pick it up, remember, use your legs, not your back. Is as you're picking up that heavy box that's up on the shelf, and you're reminding yourself, you know, I don't want to end up laying on my back with this box on top of me, so I've got to get a good, a firm grip and make sure I've got a good solid foundation as I'm picking up this heavy load. It's the same term that is used in Leviticus chapter 16. And Leviticus chapter 16 talks about what the high priest was to do on the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, which came around once a year, the high priest, first of all, had to bathe himself, and then he put on the high priestly garments that were worn that one day of the year. He put on what my mom used to call your church clothes. You had your school clothes, you had your play clothes, you had your church clothes. And so he put on those garments that were reserved for one day of the year. And so the first thing he would do is he would sacrifice a bull. He would pour the blood of that bull out. He would go into the holy place, and he would, where there was an altar, and he would take that blood and he would sprinkle it on the altar, which represented the covering for his own sins and for the sins of his family. After he had done that, he would go back out of the tabernacle, and there were two goats there. And he would take one of those goats, and he would slit his throat and gather that blood that came out from that goat. He would then take that blood past the holy place. He would go into the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant abided. It contained within it the two tablets with the Ten Commandments. It contained a piece of the manna. It contained Aaron's rod that had budded. On the top of it were two cherubim. And those two cherubim were bowed down, and their wings extended over so that their wings touched, and they were made of gold. He would go before that Holy of Holies, which represented the presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God. And he would take the blood of that goat and he would fling it on that Ark of the Covenant. And that flinging of the blood, the shedding of that blood and the flinging of that blood on the Ark of the Covenant simply was speaking that not only were his sins atoned by the blood of the sacrificed lamb, but this is to atone for the sins of the people. And then he would go back out, his hands dripping with blood from the blood of that bull whose shed blood atoned for his sins. And that blood is now mixed with the blood of that goat that was sacrificed to atone for the sins of the people. And he would walk out of the synagogue and the tabernacle or the temple later on, and the congregation would be gathered there because this day signified to them this was the Day of Atonement. This was the day in which all the sins they had committed over the past year were atoned for, were paid for by the shed blood of that goat. And I want to read to you just three verses out of Leviticus 16, beginning in verse 20. When Aaron had finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands, both of those bloody hands, on the head of the live goat,
and confess over it all the wickedness and the rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He will then send the goat away into the wilderness in the care of someone appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness. Now, I want to make sure you see this, because what God is speaking, these directions that he's giving to Leviticus, he is using the same term that Isaiah is going to speak about as he looks at this burden bearer. So the high priest would come out with those bloody hands. He would take that live goat. He would put those bloody hands on the head of that live goat. And he would stand there in front of the whole congregation. And he would pronounce over that live goat all the sins that they had committed. And then once he had made that confession of sin and had placed it on the live goat by placing those bloody hands on the head of that live goat, they would then put a rope around that goat's head, and there would be someone there who would then take that goat outside the camp, out into the wilderness, take the rope off, and release the goat. It signified that our sins have been placed on that goat, and that goat has gone away so that we will never ever see that goat again to remind us of our sins. Everybody following me? Okay. If you're not, I'll send you my notes. You remember the song that we sing sometimes? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, to bear. What Isaiah is telling us is that our sins was that burden that this man, this burden bearer, this servant, that Isaiah is looking down and seeing 700 years down the road from his own life. What was this heavy load that he bore? When he talked about he bore our infirmities, this lifting up this heavy load, this carrying, this picking up this heavy burden and laying it somewhere. What was it? Well, it was the accumulation of the burden of our sin and the pain and the sorrow that sin brought into the world. It began with Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. The Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Now, if I would have, as I was reading this, if I hadn't read further, I would have thought that the day Adam and Eve ate from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they fell over dead. That it was instantaneous death, like eating poison fruit. But it really wasn't. Adam and Eve continued to live. But what happened is when they partook of that fruit, when they bit into that fruit, the clock of Calvary began to tick. The clock that would culminate with the burden of the pain and sorrow that Adam and Eve brought into the world, when it would be finally laid upon this burden bearer that Isaiah saw in the Garden of Eden, that clock began to tick. The first installment is found in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out into the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel, and he killed him. It was the first installment. It began in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned. But then we move to the first installment of the pain that sin brings into the world. Because remember, I said at the beginning that Isaiah did not say he carried our sins. He said he carried our infirmities. He carried our grief. He carried our sorrow. And what Isaiah was seeing was not so much the sin. He was seeing the pain and the sorrow and the suffering that sin brings into the world being laid. And here was the first installment. And as you read through the scripture, you see how this burden increases in capacity. Genesis 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth. And now listen to this next part. And that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Now we're seeing that installment that began with Adam and Eve, that sin that they began, then the grief and sorrow that it brought with the murder of their son by their other son, and now we see it rapidly increasing, this burden getting heavier and heavier, because God said that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And then we see the final result of this accumulation of grief and sorrow that is brought about by sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then later in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Paul writes and he says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And now this next part. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. That's the final culmination of the pain and grief that sin brought into the world through the rebellion of Adam and Eve. Is it reached the place where that burden and that grief and that sorrow was so accumulating and was so widespread that it touched every man. Not just Adam and Eve, not just Cain and Abel, not just those who lived at the time of Noah. It touched every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, everyone born on earth. That burden was, boom, instantaneously laid on them. Verses 4 and 5 of Isaiah 53, we read verse 4. God willing, next month we'll read verse 5. Are often called the plight of the suffering Savior. And now this is where we get in to the place of the mistaken identity. Because Isaiah said this, speaking of this burden bearer that Isaiah saw, we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. Isaiah did not see that it was our burden that was being laid on him, that it was our sorrow from what happened in the Garden of Eden. It was our suffering because of what hadn't happened in the Garden of Eden. Isaiah does not see that clearly. It is almost like as Isaiah is beginning this chapter, and it gets clearer and clearer as we go through this chapter, but it's almost like Isaiah is focusing. And he begins in verse 1, and as he moves through verse 5, Isaiah, his focus is just a little bit out right now. It's not crystal clear who he's talking about. He's seeing this way down the road, and it's not clear. That's why I wear these. Up close, I know who you are. But when you're walking out of that parking lot, I'm like, who is that? And this is what Isaiah is going through. Isaiah is squinting and trying to see, who is that? And at this point in Isaiah's focus, Isaiah sees him as the burden bearer that God is laying all this on, that he is afflicted by God, that God is striking him, that God is afflicting him and is slapping him as if he were to blame, not us. But then Isaiah begins to, that focus gets a little clearer. And he says, surely he has borne our infirmities. And he has carried our diseases. The focus is getting closer now. The focus is getting clear now. Isaiah is now seeing that this burden bearer that I see 700 years down the road is not being punished because of what he did. He's being punished because of what I did. It's our infirmities. It's our diseases. It is our grief. It is our sorrow. All the things that have accumulated from the Garden of Eden that are laid upon us, that we are born with. Isaiah is saying, oh, I see it a little clearer now. God is laying it on him. And I think Isaiah was having a little difficulty focusing, because it is very difficult for us to comprehend sin from God's viewpoint. We view it from our viewpoint. When God sees sin, it looks totally different than from how we see sin. We see sin in degrees. I stole a pencil. Well, everybody does that. It's just a pencil. And so we have a scale of sin. What are minor sins? What are big sins? It's why we have white lies. Because we're operating on a scale. We're looking for the curve in the grading system. And when God is looking at sin, God is not seeing sin from a human perspective. God is seeing sin from the cross perspective. God is seeing sin for what it cost his son. We're seeing sin from what it cost us. So if it didn't cost us anything, it's really not a sin. But when God is looking at it, God is not looking at the personal cost it brought me of stealing that pencil. God is looking at what the accumulation of sin did to his son on the cross. You see, it was not just the sins of Adam and Eve. It was not just the sins of Cain. It was not just the sins, as I said earlier, of those who were contemporaries of Noah. It was not just the sin of every despot and dictator, every pervert, every abuser, every trafficker. It was not just their sins. It was my sins. It was my infirmities. It was my diseases. And what Isaiah is seeing when he talks about that he bore our burden, what Isaiah is seeing, and I'm going to use a little bit of liberty, but what Isaiah is seeing is in the spirit realm. He's seeing God lay his hands upon the Son of God who's hanging on that cross, the Lamb of God, and pronouncing over him every sin committed by man. And when God had finished making that pronouncement and God took his hands off, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I think what Jesus was saying is, God, the burden that you have laid on me is so heavy that I cannot carry it. It's going to take my life. Jesus pronounced, God pronounced over him sin beginning with Adam and Eve, coming through Cain and Abel, going down through Noah, moving on through the nation of Israel, coming into the prophets, the kings, all the sins they committed, coming into every dictator, every pervert, every act, every atrocious act that has ever been committed on earth, and coming right on through and including the sins that you and I had not yet even committed. He pronounced over him the sins of mankind, past, present, and future. And when God had finished pronouncing all that upon his son, that burden was lifted off of me and off of you. He laid on him the burden of our infirmities. Isaiah 53:4 tells us that Jesus not only lifted the things that were wrong, but he carried the suffering that those things brought into the world. Every pain that sin has brought into your life, every pain that sin has brought into my life, every pain that man's rebellion and man's will and man's ways have brought into your life and my life and will bring into the lives of mankind until Jesus comes, was all laid on him. That burden was lifted up, and there was only one who could lift it, and that was God. God lifted that burden up and reached down to Calvary and laid it on Jesus Christ. Because he died, you and I can face yesterday. Because he lives, you and I can face tomorrow. But because he suffered, you and I can face today. Let's join in prayer. Oh God, we stand again amazed in the presence of your Son Jesus. God, the gospel, what you did for us, can never be exhausted. Lord, it's the story that continues to ring true. That you took all the suffering and all the pain of my sin, of the sins of the world, of the sins of every man and woman who have ever lived or ever will live, and you laid it on Jesus. Just like the high priest laying his hands on the head of that scapegoat was a foreshadow, was a picture of what you would do at Calvary. No wonder, Father, the songwriter would write and say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Lord, that burden that you laid upon Jesus, we could not bear. We were not strong enough, pure enough, clean enough, holy enough to pick it up. Only you could do it. But thank you. You could have easily laid it on us, but you chose to lay it on the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. My sin, Adam's sin, Cain's sin, the sins of Noah's contemporaries, sins of every man and woman who have ever lived. You laid it on him as he hung on the cross. And Lord, to simply say thank you seems so inadequate, but that is what we offer you today. Thank you. Would you take your hymnal?